Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe your music could be a little bit too. You're probably more than open to the
and hating and opinionated, loners in basements and those congregated, deliver me. Far from the peaceful shore I was sinking, deep in the ocean of thoughts they were thinking. I don't know what validation I was seeking. Deliver me from people. When you said you could heal me from anything, did you mean people? Deliver me, 'cause I can't point them out. I won't say their names. I don't the damage or which one to blame. Is just people deliver me. She was the reason I smiled in the morning. He took the last bit of joy I was storing. That's too much power for anything human. Deliver me from people. No, you can heal me from anything. What about
to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to welcome you all here again tonight for another installation of Wounded No More for this Thursday, November the 10th, 2022. Now, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles, get something to write with and to write on, and receive your anointed host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wounded No More, the edition about forgiveness. Tonight is specifically what we're going to talk about. We are still following Forgiving What You Can't Forgive by Lisa Turkhurst. I realized I was pronouncing her name incorrectly. And we are following, and I'm on page 46. Now, keep in mind, I do not go in order. There are certain things that I'm going to pull out, and I am following the, I have actually the study guide, but the book, it refers back and forth to the book, and I just want you to follow along as best as you can, or don't worry about it. You do not have to have the book to be able to get some good meat out of this and something that will be relevant to you as you are struggling or dealing with or confronting any area in your life that has to do with unforgiveness. Just to give you a little background, I started to read this book because it was given to me by my therapist in 2020. I was in therapy for a while. It really did me a great, it was a great time to reflect, but it was also a great time of healing. And my whole intent is to share with others this journey, not just because of what I've gone through, but many people struggle with this, I realize, in the body of Christ. And I think one of the issues, from what I've observed, is people healing alone or thinking that they're alone. Or, you know, we have more than certain things in common. And one of the things that I find with people in the body of Christ that want to mature is we want to heal. We want to be better. We want to go forward, and we want to confront those things that get in the way of growth, of unity, of our love walk, and of us being whole. So I want to create this community. And even though we may be taking a hiatus from this for the rest of the year, I'm going to pick it up again and finish this whole book. I have decided, God be my help, that we're going to finish this. So I just thank you for that introduction, Apostle Cook. And I want to talk about today what unforgiveness does to your mind. We want to talk about those areas in our thought processes and in our mindsets and mentality nobody else sees, especially if you are struggling with this in any form or fashion. You have a way of masking it. It's not really what people see. But people that discern spirits, they do see the struggle of unforgiveness. So just let you know, you're not hiding. If you're dealing with anything in your mind, you will be, you know, some people will see you. Feeling mentally stuck in our places of woundedness is such a maddening place to be. That place where we just can't seem to stop going back over all the details. The careless words that were said, the unbelievable things that she did, the place where we just seem to stop going back over all the details. The callous and caustic ways they treated us in the midst of our pain and our enemy, Satan. He would love for us to just set up camp and dwell in those torturous mental spaces. He wants us to believe the lie that we have no control over our thoughts and that it doesn't even matter what we think anyway. See, this is why when you deal with unforgiveness at different levels, you can't gloss over all the details and all the things that are going on behind the scenes. One of the reasons why I love this course of study of her book and the study companion is because she goes really deep. She's very transparent. And this is one of the areas that many of us struggle with. We can call them what you want. At the end of the day, I love the wording. She calls it mentally stuck in places of woundedness and how those memories or thoughts constantly play over and over and over and over again. And we become very masterful at calling them something else. What I've grown to understand is that when you don't take those thought captives, when you're not confronting those thoughts, they turn into ideologies. They turn into reasons why we do what we do, and they have nothing to do with the truth. So this is why I think this is a great topic, because when we have the Holy Spirit, we need to allow the Lord to lead and guide us into all truth. And any place where you've camped out with unforgiveness is not a place of truth. It is really a place where there can be potential heresy and apostasy. You're totally falling away from what God is saying. But what the author has to say that's really interesting. And she talks about taking a few moments to reflect on some of the things that you may be struggling with to forgive. Which situation or occurrences would you say consume most of your thoughts in your life right now? Maybe this time of year for some of us brings up hard times, brings up bad memories, mistakes that were made, things that people did with me. And I thank God for that song that Apostle Cook played. First of all, I love Jonathan McReynolds. I love him, period, no matter what he sings, because he is very real. It's called Life Music. But that song is powerful because it's saying, deliver me from people and the things that people did to me. And he goes through, you know, people that are entitled, people that are disrespectful, people that are hateful. But one of the things that, and that plays over and over in our minds when we're dealing with situations where we're raw or where we're struggling to forgive. I tell you what, though, when you decide that you're going to forgive, it doesn't make it easy because you decide. It just makes it better for you, if that makes sense. It doesn't make it easy because you've decided to forgive. All the strength, all the might, all the focus, all the determination has to come from God. But the moment that you do choose, it does not become easy. And these things do come up. Start having those internal conversations with yourself about those areas where you're struggling with. Don't gloss over them. Don't get so worked up that you just say, I'll just, you know, I call them dysfunctional patterns and mechanisms that we use to protect ourselves. They become very unhealthy. But how much would you say you spend thinking about it? She has a scale from 1 to 10. 1 being, I think about it in passing occasionally. The last one, which is 10, is I'm struggling to function at all. I just can't stop thinking about it. And then there's the middle. Most days hold thoughts about it. So there's a scale. And I thought that was pretty powerful. Like, let's get honest about where we are in this. How are we struggling, you know, or if we are or not. Nevertheless, it's taking up space and it's taking up energy and time. So we have to take those thoughts captive. How do those thoughts typically leave you feeling? I thought that was great because, you know, when, depending on what you're dealing with, depending on what you're struggling with, you might be trying to deal with unforgiveness in many areas in your life. Some things you're on your way out and you can see the bright, you know, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Some things you are so deep in the tunnel you can't see light because you're not there. You need to be honest about that. But at the end of the day, if you're able to measure where you are about, okay, now, you know, I'm dealing with this, how does that leave you feeling? She talks about examples. Are you enraged, exhausted, irritated, sad? Do you feel overwhelmed, out of control, hurt, broken? And then I added some, and I said rejected, misunderstood, alone, you know? And it just said, let's think about those things. Because this is digging deep. You see how this is why I love this study, because she digs deep. You just think, I need to forgive. And then you realize, yeah, because this happened to me. But think about what it's doing to you. Not just what happened to you. What is it continuously doing to you every day, every month, every week, every 2 weeks, this time of year? You know, what is it doing to you? How is it leaving you? Feeling bereft, feeling tired, feeling exhausted, feeling overwhelmed, feeling irritated. I used to interact with a lot of people before God started dealing with me, and I was so unaware of what I was putting out there. Usually the people I interacted with, I didn't have an issue with them per se, because the people that I had unforgiveness with, most of the time I didn't deal with them. So, but yet and still, how I was feeling about certain things in my life affected those around me in my sphere of influence. And I was unaware of that. It left me not wanting to deal with even the people that I cared about, even the people that I wanted to interact, even new people. It kept this shield around me. And it made me, so you have to be honest about where you are, overwhelmed, sad, depressed, anxious for some of us. Fearful. I think about people dealing with anxiety these days. In some cases, not all, but in some cases, they may be dealing with unforgiveness. and they get triggered, and all of a sudden they get paranoid, or they get fearful, or they get depressed. So I'm going to leave that there, because pretty soon we're going to go deep, dive deep into the word. But I want to set the stage. Scripture, our base, our place of where we get our core, how we live our lives, which is the word of God, has a lot to say about what we meditate on. You know, there's so many scriptures about our thoughts and what we dwell on. And this is because what feeds us affects us. What we feed on, what we value, it affects us. And what we're thinking on is actually what our mind is feasting on. You don't think about it that way, do you? I remember, too, the Lord dealing with me about me just allowing those thoughts just to come trafficking in and out of my mind on any given day, interrupting my day, throwing me off. I mean, I felt like sometimes they really were fiery darts. They just came out of nowhere. And he said, don't allow yourself to be, don't be passive about, he said, about the things that go through your mind, especially when they're negative, especially when they have to do with things of the past and you forgiving. Do not allow these things to continue to traffic in and out, and you just sit there and allow yourself to be attacked. Take captive of them. Be aggressive about them and say, no, you can't pass through here. No, you can't develop into an ideology and a mentality and affect my whole day and throw me off, you know? So you have to get aggressive about those things by being honest about what they leave behind and what you're thinking on. Let's look at the word of God for wisdom, because we know that's where it wisdom is. We use the lines, so she's talking about, let's go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And so we're going to be able to listen to what the word is saying to you specifically. I'm going to be reading between the Amplified and the King James Version. It says, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's the King James Version. And the Amplified Version says, you will keep him in perfect and constant peace, the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. Confidently in the Lord forever, he is your fortress, your shield, your banner, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, a rock of ages. And that makes me think of, when I think of this scripture, it thinks of, he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. He's a stabilizer. I immediately think of structures. My husband is an architect, so there's a lot of things that I have picked up through just, you know, being married to him for as long as we have been together, and his structures and understanding foundations and how things are built. And when there's strong foundations, they're built a certain way based upon what's going to be built on top of it. When we think of the word of God and our peace, it's so important to take our frame of reference and how we live our life based on the word. He keeps us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, who's stayed on him. That means that's where you go. Not just when you're in trouble, you go there every day and you feed. What you feed on affects you. Feed on the word. Feed on the word. Even if in the beginning it feels mechanical, it feels like it's not working, because it doesn't work overnight. I'm going to tell you that, especially when you're dealing with deep wounds. It doesn't work overnight, but I tell you what, it does work. Because you have to believe that first what you're reading is alive and active, and it is. Because when you decide to keep your mind stayed on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. That word perfected means over time, means maturity, means developed. It does not happen overnight. One thing I want to do in this, when I teach about unforgiveness, is be real about what our processes are. Many of us that have raised in church or just teaching sometimes makes it feel like there's a magic wand that's going to be waved over us when we decide to forgive, because the word tells us to forgive. No, healing is work. Even when you apply the word to your life and you live from that biblical place, I mean that scripture and biblical worldview, you still have to work. It is work. It's a decision, but it is still work. So we need to be honest about the things that we allow ourselves to dwell on. We need to be honest about the disciplines and the sacred disciplines that we decide to employ when it comes to our healing. They are real. They work. Just like every day you get up and you may take a vitamin and you can see the manifestations of taking those vitamins every day, it's the same thing with the Word of God. It's the same thing with prayer. These are our sacred disciplines. And then now we're going to go to Romans 8, verses 5 through 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For those who are living according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit, his will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. How plain is that? In the moment that we begin to dwell on the past, you can even feel yourself almost being separated into two pieces. God has given you that peace. You decide to dwell on peace. You can, when God begins to heal you of unforgiveness, one of the things is you can look at those things the way they are, not dwell on them, not absorb them, and be able to still have peace of mind and not feel sorry for yourself, not wallow in it, not be stuck. And that's how you know you've moved on. That's how you know you've healed, is the way that you look at those things, even though they may have been painful and unjust, or just plain out, evil things. God will give you peace about it. I tell you, he will give you peace about it. And you have to believe that when you read the word. But you can't sit and dwell on thoughts and think and not take them captive and let them run in and out and not apply the word to your life. In Romans, so we have to decide to live according to the Spirit. And sometimes when those thoughts come, maybe you begin to journal. Maybe you start getting stuff out. Maybe you say, okay, God, however he leads you to deal with those thoughts, without them torturing you, without them reminding you of the past in a negative way, you have to be able to employ something, use something that the Lord will lead and guide you to do to start healing and purge. Therapy can be really good because they give you skills and things that you can do. And you feel like this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life. But at the end of the day, when you say, the Lord, I'm doing this with you, you can help me to do this and deal with this on a practical, in a practical way on an everyday basis, so that I'm not sitting around wallowing this all day and feasting off of this. And this is killing me. It's affecting my life, right? So in Philippians 4:6-8, this is about the one that everybody's familiar with. And this always comes up when I'm dealing with different things in my life. Be careful for nothing. This is about anxiety. This is a lot of answer to people that people are dealing with anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request made known to God. There's a lot in that verse right there, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. 6 has a lot. There's a lot loaded. Don't be anxious for anything. Semicolon. Don't be anxious for anything. Dwell on that. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be worried about anything. But in everything, pray. Talk to God. Write things down. Be thankful. There's so much there. There's so much to do in that one verse. And the peace, here's if you do this, the peace of God, which past all your understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In the Amplified, it says, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all your understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus is yours. So if you're dealing with anxiousness, if that those thoughts leave you anxious, remember how we talked about that, is how those thoughts typically leave you. Don't be anxious for anything. Begin to pray and talk to God. Begin to say, Lord, this is what I need. Lord, this is what's going on with me. I love you. Thank you for taking me this far. Thank you for being here for me, Lord. I know it's time for me to heal. Help me. You know, help me to forgive. Help me to take those thoughts captive. How should I do that? What does that look like for me today? He'll tell you. He will tell you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever these things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So it tells us what to think on.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever it is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, then continually on these things. This is a condition. This is a discipline, rather. This is something that you have to choose every day, because we live in a world and we live in a society that this is difficult sometimes. And I would think during certain times it's very difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult sometimes. And if we're honest, when you're struggling with areas of forgiveness, it can be especially difficult to dwell. But you have to make yourself do it. You have to make yourself think on things honest, and you have to qualify those thoughts by saying, okay, is this true? Is this something that's is going to be uplifting? Is this an honorable thing? Is it worthy of respect? Is it virtuous? Is it pure? No. And sometimes you ask yourself these questions, you check them off, you find out the more likely with some of the thoughts, it'll help you take them captive. It'll help you subject them to the obedience of Christ. It'll help you say, this is not doing me any good. Thinking on this, what good is this doing me? So then you choose Philippians 4, verse 8. Go through that checklist, and that will help you. Are you in compliance to that verse? Remember? And it just lets you know, no, you're not in compliance. You're allowing yourself to dwell on this. Or, yes, I am in compliance. If you have to do that every hour of the day, what particular day? Some days are hard. If you have to do that morning, noon, and night, or if you have to do that early in the morning or late at night, because depending on what's going on with you or if you're struggling hard that day, just sit there and meditate on his word. Take every thought captive. For some of us, it could take a minute. But I'm going to tell you what, the more you do this, the more that you do it without thinking, because it becomes a discipline. It's just one of the ways that we heal. Now we're going to go to Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says, blessed and fortunate, prosperous and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice, for example, not stand in the pathway of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers and ridiculers, people that ridicule. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly. Remember how we talked about stayed firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaves do not wither, and in whatever that he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. See, when we begin to focus on the word of God, especially when it comes to our thought processes, it will help us so much to become more mature. Yes, habitually deciding. That's what I'm saying. The discipline is the everyday thing. It's a choice. Early this morning, there were some things that were burdening me. They had nothing to do with unforgiveness, but nevertheless, they were burdening me. And the Lord just got, he was speaking to me all morning before I really woke up and started my day. And he said, right before I put my feet on the ground to get out of bed, he said, you have to choose peace today. You can either choose peace or not. To that point where it felt like it was audible. You have to choose to be at peace today. You have to choose to trust God today. You have to choose to take every thought captive today. You have to choose,
right.
I will be mature. I will be teachable in this. You have to choose
Come
it.
That's good.
And sometimes the moment you choose it, an hour later, something comes up and you, he said, are you choosing peace? Then be still. Then be quiet. Then trust me. Then go and do this. Then go and do that. You have to choose it. And it's a choice. And not making a choice is choosing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
People don't think about that. Well, I'm just going to say
that.
I don't know what to do. I feel like I can't fight. Well, you choosing to believe that is. So, there's some days that you are just like worn out. And then there's some days
uh-huh.
you fight and it's over with, right? So we just
mm-hmm.
need to get honest about our own processes. So when we begin to, especially in verse 2 of that, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord and on his law, his precepts and his teachings, the principles and the word, we habitually meditate on them day and night. Our daily bread. Our daily bread. That's just it. I need this. I need this. And so you have to look at it like that first drink of water you drink that day or the piece of food that you put in your mouth that first day when you, I mean, in the morning or whenever. It's like you need this to survive. So that's what you need. His word is very much like that. How would you describe a person? It says, who spends all of their time nursing and rehearsing old wounds. If you ever known anyone stuck in the pain of their past, what is that like to be around them? I'll tell you what it's like to be around me when I was acting like that. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. They're usually unhappy. They're miserable. They're bitter, easily offended, prideful, easily deceived. Now, see, I thought that was interesting because the Holy Spirit gave me that. He said, easily deceived. I said, easily deceived. He said, yeah, because there's a perception that they don't see. There's something that they don't see. So they get easily deceived into believing a lie, especially when we allow those unforgiving thoughts to generate ideologies and mentalities that are so ungodly, period. And so you get easily deceived and drawn into all kinds of foolishness and believing all kinds of foolishness based on pride and, you know, and all this other thing. Knowing there is no condemnation, how do you think people would describe being around you? How would you say that? Would you say your thought life is having an effect, positive or negative, on those that you interact with? I just mentioned that. You're not aware of that, but looking, you know, how they said hindsight is 20/20. When I look back at those things and my disposition, I know it affected people. People were standoffish. People said all kinds of stuff about me. I later found out about it. People said, you got a chip on your shoulder. People were like this and that, and you seem mad all the time, and all this kind of stuff. And some people, I did that on purpose, I will have to say. And then that's me being honest. I did that on purpose because I didn't want to talk to some people. I didn't want them nowhere in my space. And that's not a loving thing to be, because you give off the wrong impression to everybody, even the people that, you know, are awesome people. So I kept everybody away. I was repellent with that easily offended thing, with that don't trust nobody, nobody's worth being trusted, or they're full of it, everybody's fake, all of this stuff that I used to think wasn't very talkative, but I sure did think it, and it was sending off a repellent. And that's what it does. But when you begin to heal, it's a whole different feeling. So I do know the difference. Where are you today? What repellent are you giving off or have given off? Because some of us are at that place where we've gone over that. God has healed us from that. So let's go to Hebrews I'm going to read Hebrews 4. And this is what Jesus said. What is Jesus? Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. Jesus offers us freely when we feel weak and incapable. And he says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And Romans 8:1 tells us that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence because there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. So the moment that you become convicted, not condemned, when you are dealing with unforgiveness, you know you need to come to the throne of God. You need to say, Lord, help me. You need to have those transparent conversations. When you find yourself resistant to the idea of forgiveness, is your first reaction to turn toward Jesus for help or to pull away from him? I would say pull away because I've done it too many times, and I know there's different ones where we resist to forgive, and he opens the door and gives us opportunity. We resist it. It's almost like, I'm not ready yet. I ain't ready yet. If you pull back, what thoughts and feelings do you think motivate that choice? Fear motivates that choice, I would say, for me. But you have to answer that for yourself. When you pull back from forgiving, what emotion is it? For some people, it's not fear. For some people, it's pride. It's something else going on. It could be many things depending on the person. And it says shame. She said shame, fear, resentment, or being asked to forgive. Or being asked to forgive. Some people feel like I shouldn't have to forgive. Why should I have to? You know? So, like I said, I always present all these different options because everybody is going through different things. We're dealing with the same thing, but it's all having a different effect on us. That is affecting what? Our mind. It's affecting your mind.
Amen.
And if we go to 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it reminds us that the weapons that we fight with, they're not weapons of the world. And on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And so we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So what are some of the most persistent and troubling thought patterns that you've been struggling to break free? It's not just one thought. It's not. It's usually many thoughts cooked up together. If you think about a chain, if you think about a continuous line that makes a circle, those thoughts can represent a pattern. And they usually are. That pattern is what I mentioned earlier about ideology. The Greek word for that is noemas. They line up those thoughts upon thoughts upon thoughts upon thoughts because you're not taking them captive. And they string along and they become something that's real to you. It's how you live your life. It's what you believe. It's your reason for why you, rationale for why you do or don't do certain things. And you'd be surprised when unforgiveness goes deep, how much it affects your mind and your mental and emotional disposition every day. How it is like a cancer that you can't control, a rebellious cell. In the natural, in the health medical world, that's what they would call, that's one of the ways I heard cancer described, a rebellious cell. So when you think about that rebellious thought, that doesn't line up with the word of God, you'd be surprised how it will breed other rebellious thoughts, negative thoughts that keep you stuck, that keep you in turmoil, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear brings torment, not necessarily because of the act. When people begin to have memories about things that happened to them, if they're struggling with unforgiveness, and it's a memory, remember the name of this book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And so some people still remember things. It doesn't mean it has to torture you. It has to every day, or you struggle with it. But see, God is near, and he's closest to those of a broken heart. And this has led many people in the body of Christ in shambles. This has destroyed families. This has destroyed ministries. One of the reasons, and leaders, has just totally dismantled them from what God has told them to do, and purpose and identity, stolen it. Because what? That thought, that mindset, that's rebellious, that we did not take captive, or you don't know how to take captive tonight. I'm going to end with prayer, because I want you to take some time on your own and write out a prayer and begin to ask God specifically how you need him to help you with this journey as it pertains to your mind.
Hallelujah.
Because that's where the battle is in the mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The battle will be here. And the Lord has said he would fight all our battles. And some of us, we need to let him do that.
That's
by
right.
By applying his word, by going to his word. Let him fight your battles. That doesn't mean you're going to get revenge. Revenge belongs to him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play, and I'm going to prophesy tonight, because I realize that we're going to speak to these issues. I don't know who's listening, and I don't know who's going to listen. That has nothing to do with it. But I'm going to speak. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to speak against these things and prophesy.
Amen.
So somebody can be edified. Somebody can be uplifted. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what prophecy is for. So I just thank you, Father God, today for this opportunity tonight. I thank you, Lord, today for your people that are listening. I thank you for, Lord, those souls who may not know you tonight, who want
Lord.
To know you, who are growing in you, but they still are struggling with you, and this is plaguing their lives. I thank you, Lord, today, right now. If anybody is listening and they want to do a prophetic act, please touch your mind, touch your head, put
Lord.
Your hands in your hands. And begin, especially the front part, because that's where we make all our decisions. That's called the
frontal
cortex. That's where judgment is. I thank you, Lord, today, wherever there's in our soul, Father God, where people are struggling, where they have struggled, where there may be an onset of confusion and even levels of dementia or confusion, Lord, because
of
memory. I thank you, Father God, today that you show them that you're near. Show them in your word that you care. Show them, Lord, that you will give them peace, and that it's never too late for anyone to be healed. It's never too late. It's never too late, no matter what you've done or what you've been exposed to. There may be a young woman or a young man right now who feels like they're too young and nobody would understand or believe, or that they are on the onset of struggling with unforgiveness and they have taken a rebellious path. I thank you, Father God, for arresting and getting their attention right now, Lord, and that there be divine intervention in the name of Jesus. Some people are struggling with mental illness because of unforgiveness. Really bad. And they know, for some of them, Father, that is why they have this load of depression and anxiety.
Yes.
And maybe even some levels of mental illness as it pertains to dementia or whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, there's so many different names, Lord, but you know, even schizophrenia or different things like
Lord.
That. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are healing.
Mm-hmm.
You are one that heals. You are, and you heal completely. You don't halfway heal us. You heal us to
That's
make us
right.
whole. So I pray, Lord, today, that man or that woman of God, that they open their mouth and say, Lord, heal me completely from head to toe.
Whatever
unforgiveness has afflicted me, has taken hold of me, Father God, pull up the roots, Lord, in the place where there's bitterness, Father God, unrest,
Lord, touch Jesus.
That they wrestle no more, that they begin to trust you, Lord, that they become levels of repentance. This always comes with repentance. People of God. And God will show you how to do that, because sometimes we don't know how to repent. And it's more than just the mind. It's a turning away of totally and coming out of agreement with things that we allowed those rebellious thoughts to create. I thank you, Lord, for creating us a clean heart and renew within us the right spirit tonight. I thank you, Father God, that I just want people to know, Lord, too, that they're not alone. I think one of the things that people struggle with is when they decide to heal is that they're going to be alone because they're so used to being misunderstood. They get used to being being the rebel or whatever the case may be, and they are afraid to heal because they're going to be different.
My Lord, today,
Jesus, that we don't get stuck in these areas of deception, Father God.
Yes,
we come
Lord.
Up out them. You want us to be brand new. You won't pour new wine in old wineskins.
Hallelujah.
So we have to, Jesus, we have to be able to see ourselves as new the way that you created us. Lord, calm us down. Give us your peace that surpasses all understanding. To guard our hearts and minds completely. And know that you are close to us and our hands are in your hands. In some of the cases, you've gone before us, so there's nothing for us to be afraid of.
Yes, hallelujah.
That we can live on this earth and really serve in a place of peace and in a place, Father God, where we're closer to you so that as servant leaders specifically, that we will be more effective in how we serve the people and walk in love. Thank you, Lord, today for this opportunity, for it has truly been a ministry to me. And I thank you, Lord, today that those who are listening, that they continue to make this their own, that they continue to hear what you're saying about unforgiveness and walk with you and let you walk with them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, right. That was a powerful, powerful, powerful teaching, Pastor Vanessa, and so true.
Yeah.
And there are so many people that truly don't, they really do not realize that their thoughts, you know, they don't associate their tiredness, their irritability, their, you know, their the feeling of depression or being overwhelmed with unforgiveness. But I praise God for your lesson tonight. I really do, my dear sister. Now, if you're sitting in our studio and you would like to have a word tonight, please, we would love to hear from you. Just kindly press your 1 on your keypad, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. And right now, we do have Mother Mitchell is in the house. I want to thank Mother Mitchell from Spirit Alive for being in the house with us tonight. And Mother Mitchell, if you would like to have a word, you're more than welcome to do so at this time. As I scan for other to see if there's any other listeners that would like to speak, Mother Mitchell, would you like to have a word?
Yes, please. I'd just like to thank Sister Vanessa, Pastor Vanessa, for this whole, I've been on all parts. I haven't missed any. I don't plan to miss any on forgiveness because it really takes its toll on us. And even when, like she says, you make up your mind to forgive, it's a process, and it can go on for a long time before you arrive at where you want to be. And I've lived by myself for a long time now. And at night when I'm praying and I'm saying my prayers, I just ask God to bring me up a little bit higher. I'm not talking about making me perfect or anything like that. I'm just saying help me to be steadfast and unmovable like that tree planted by the rivers of water, that I can know who I am, I can know who he says I am, and nobody will tell me I can't be that. Thank you, Vanessa, for this study. I appreciate it and love you so much for bringing it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mother Mitchell, for that word of wisdom. I look forward to hearing things that you say because of your generation. And thank you for that, because I really do, your input. I appreciate your input and, of course, Apostle Cook. But I think that having your mother on, and when she does share her heart, is really important, because you know, generation from generation, we can pass this stuff on or we can come against it.
Yeah. And it's especially important to me because, one, I tell people that I come from good stock. And I mean that. I believe that. You know, my mother praying woman, you know, belonged to a church that loved, you know, truly the pastor truly loved God, and he loved me, and he loved God, all of God's people. So, you know, I just, it's important for me to have younger people hear me sit, even though I am an apostle, under the wisdom and the word of my mother, because no matter where God takes me, hallelujah, it will never change the fact that before I was his called and sent, I was Mother Mitchell's daughter, okay? So, you know, and we need to teach young people to value the wisdom of our elders. So thank you for saying that, Pastor Vanessa, because I truly believe that wholeheartedly, you know, because none of us have arrived. We don't know it all. And you know, and I, like I said, it takes our unity. It takes our love as a family together, because we haven't all been through the same issues and circumstances and things. And, you know, when you don't know something, then you don't know. Or if you're, if somebody hasn't, you know, somebody hasn't said, hey, my sister, my brother, have you considered, did you read the word of God in Galatians? Or did you read, you know what I mean? That's what we need to be doing more of. You know, it's not enough to say, well, you know, you need to forgive. Okay. But what I love about your study, Pastor Vanessa, is you're teaching that housewife, that hip-hop kid in the street, that old mother, you know, that elder, that, you know, that the situation may be different, the stimuli may be different, but the God we serve is the same, and he operates the same.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, and that's why I tell my mother, your mindset is everything. I was just telling my mother earlier today, I said, you know what, Mama? I decided a while ago that I wasn't going to let anything rent space in my head that was negative. Because
that's
all
good.
The energy that I spend, well, why did they do that? And I telling myself I'm justified in the way I feel, or why even go there?
Right.
You know, I told my mother, if I know certain people do certain things that I cannot abide, and if Jesus hasn't seen fit to change them, then I know I can't, you know what I'm saying? Who do I think I am? But what I will do is not set myself up to be in a position of unforgiveness. Like you said, Pastor Vanessa, I decide every morning, I'm going to be at peace. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I am victorious. I am, nobody's going to steal my joy. You know what I'm saying? And because what man should do, what man can, will, and has done to you should come as no surprise to you. Why do you think the word of God says, put not your faith in man?
That's right.
For they will fail you. But see, my brothers and sisters, what we got to remember in the process of forgiveness is when we get disappointed by people, you know, we can get depressed. We can get depressed to the point of being diseased, like she said, like a cancer.
Make yourself sick, yeah.
Make yourself sick. Or we can let those disappointments drive us, because we know that everything that God brings to us and has us going through is to build our character. So we can let it drive us to be more holy, drive us to be more loving, drive us, hallelujah, to be more compassionate, drive us to be more forgiving. Because one thing I love about the song, that the opening song was, the last thing that this child asked God to do was he said, deliver me if I'm one of those people, those hateful,
yes,
disrespectful, mean-spirited people. You know? So like I said, I praise God. For this is a, ooh, this is a wonderful study. I want to thank you for your transparency, Pastor Vanessa. I just want to thank everybody that's in here because even though I'm talking, I am still writing in my little notebook. And I praise God for it. Now, if you have heard us tonight, you've heard this dynamic message about forgiveness. You know that we serve a God who loved us so much and wanted to reconcile us back to himself so much that he did not even withhold his only begotten son, Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord wants to forgive you. And people say, you know, I've often heard people say, well, you just need to forgive yourself. You cannot forgive yourself because, one, you didn't hang bleeding down on that cross, okay? What you can do is receive forgiveness for yourself from Jesus. And all you have to do to receive that forgiveness is ask him. Just repent of your sin. Like Pastor Vanessa said, go to him and repent. Tell him you understand that you have sinned against him and you want him to come into your life and to save you, to rescue you, deliver you. First from you, and then from people. Hallelujah. And all those
Amen.
Things that plague in your mind, your soul, your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, oh, hallelujah, your life will change. You will never be the same. And after hearing this message, and are you already in the body of Christ, if you have any issues, you need to go back and search yourself right now in the name of Jesus and ask yourself, get real with yourself. Am I holding on to some grudges that I thought I had let go of? Have I really relinquished the power of that offense over me? Have I given, you know, have I truly let that go? And then you go to the Lord and ask him to search you and to help you to see what it is you need to see so that you can be better, so that you can be more loving and compassionate. And you know what? He's faithful. And just like Pastor Vanessa says, he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Once again, we praise God for the woman of God. Father God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you pour back into this mighty woman of God because she has indeed poured out unto your people tonight. Lord, continue to just bless her from the crown of her head to the sole, her head to the sole of her feet. Lord, go before in all that she must do, Lord God. Strengthen her. Shore her up on every leaning side, Father God, because she is a true, humble, and faithful servant that loves you.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank you, Jesus. You have been listening to Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver. So on behalf of myself, Mother Mitchell, and Pastor Carver, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week and weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Hallelujah. Thank you, beautiful
lady. Good night,
ladies.
Everyone.
God bless you.
Good night, everyone.
God bless you.
Have a good week.
Love
Thank you.
You.
Love you. Love you back. Bye.
Bye.